Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can go to hear the show if you where you can't hear it on the radio. And you can also hear this show for until it's replaced with the next show tomorrow on my website, on demand. Check that out. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Let me tell you who our guest is this hour. He's our good friend Paul Goldner, who has been with us before. Paul is an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. I know that he built at least one company from zero to $100 million and then sold that company. His sales and motivational programs have energized audiences throughout the world. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which is called Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them, and another book, which I'm now holding, called Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here again.
It's good to have you back with us. Paul, one of the things that prevents people from being successful is prospecting. Mm-hmm. Salespeople, companies, whatever your role in the business, in the marketplace is, and I know you know this and believe this, you can be the sharpest tack in the box, you can be the hardest worker, you can have all the business fundamentals squared away, but in very rare occasions can you not do a good job of prospecting and be successful. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and when we started our first business, we learned that lesson the hard way, and so here we were with $3,000 in working capital. We had to go out and rent an office and buy some furniture, and we thought that the business was just going to come floating in the door, and so...
Unlock the door and get out of the way.
Yeah, well, actually, that's what we thought. My partner and I, we had only one telephone at the time, and we both used to fight over who was going to sit at the telephone to take all the orders when they came in. So what we found out very quickly was that $3,000 didn't last that long and that the orders didn't come rolling in the door the way we thought they were going to, and so you had to be proactive and go out there and make some phone calls.
Well, there are two elements, at least two elements. You correct me if you think there are more. But there are at least two elements to prospecting that you have to be able to deal with. Number one is, are you good at it? You have to become good at prospecting. And number two, you have to do it, period. I mean, a lot of people may be good at prospecting, but they can't make themselves go do it because they just don't like it. And then there are people who maybe are, you know, they're too naive, and maybe they're callous enough that they don't mind doing it, but they're just not very good at it. So there are, you have to have the tools to be able to prospect well, but you also have to have the spirit inside of you to make you go do it, don't you?
Those are good points, and in terms of the tools, I always teach people in my programs that selling is like an Olympic event, and so what I try to do is break it down into three different things. Number one is the prospecting process. Number two is when you're face-to-face with a customer. And number three, when you're negotiating the close of the sale. And I always say that if you're going to be an Olympic athlete, you've got to be prepared. And if you take a look at what the Olympic athletes do, they spend 4 years or more preparing for an event. And what I tell people to do in the prospecting process is to prepare by simply having a well-developed script. And that's one of the things that we talk about in the Red Hot Cold Call Selling book. There's a whole chapter devoted to how to create a great script that's going to warm up your prospects, not turn them off.
Right. I knew a couple of partners who were in the insurance business years ago. And they had the perfect arrangement. One of them was the best closer I ever knew,
yep.
And the other one was the best prospector I ever knew, and they tag-teamed the marketplace.
Yep, a lot of companies do that, and the companies that do that, they have a funny name for the people. They call them hunters and farmers.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual to see you dividing that up based on your skill set. You know, in much the same way as you would in baseball and football or any team sport, you know, you have people with specific roles, and they got to do their job.
Right. And another term I used, I heard for along the lines of what you were just talking about, is hunters and skinners. I'll hunt them and bring them in, you skin them. but really, that was a great thing, and those two guys knew what their strengths were, and they developed a very successful insurance business around those strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very happy. And you know what? I've watched those guys for a long time, and they stayed true to their role in that company,
mm-hmm.
and they were just as happy as they could be doing that.
Well, a lot of times you're very happy doing what you're good at, so nothing wrong with that.
But if you don't have a partner, and many of us don't, and many of us don't want partners, many of us don't need a partner, you've got to be able to accomplish something very similar all by yourself, don't you?
Yeah, and that actually brings us to the second point that you just made, which is you've got to really just carve out the time every single day, and that's really the first of those Ten Commandments of prospecting
yep.
that we were going to talk about.
Yep. How'd you like that segue?
What's that?
I said, how'd you like that segue?
Yeah, it says, commandment number one, make an appointment with yourself for 1 hour each day to prospect. And I think that's really crucial because I always try to tell people that prospecting is like dieting. Prospecting is like working out. So if you wanted to work out and get into shape, you wouldn't be able to get into shape by working out only one day a week. And if you wanted to diet and lose weight, you wouldn't be able to lose weight by only dieting one day a week. And so if you want to be a successful business developer, you really got to prospect every day of the week. You can't do that one day a week or one day a month or one day a quarter, as the case may be.
So you're saying literally write down on your calendar between 7 and 8 in the morning, between 12 and 1 in the afternoon, or whenever that is, you literally set aside an hour of your day. That's your appointment with yourself, and that in that hour you do nothing but prospect.
Yeah, because prospecting is sort of like going to the health club. It's one of those things that wherever it starts out on your list, you can always push it down one more notch and do something else. And what I always found was that unless you really carved it into your daily plan, you're going to put it off until tomorrow because there's always, you know, a better time to do it. So you really got to make an appointment for a minimum of 1 hour a day, depending on where you are in your overall sales development, business development, and just sit down there and do it. And that would be just like an appointment with a customer or anything else that you really can't change.
So you would recommend to someone who's listening right now, maybe they're not having as good a prospecting success as they would like, to take their calendar out and for the next month, find, or at least maybe just for this week, find an hour and set that hour aside,
mm-hmm.
and write that into your calendar so you know you've scheduled it for yourself. Probably be a good idea maybe this week just to do it for, maybe initially, just to do it for a week because you might find that the hour that you wrote down is not the best hour for you.
Yeah, well, there's two points there, and number one is when you're just starting out, you want to start out small because, you know, people are really not fond of prospecting because of the rejection issue.
Right.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Good. All right, stand by, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassie, the Small Business Advocate. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask me or our special guest, Paul Goldner, the author of Red Hot Customers and Red Hot Cold Calling, that's two different books, by the way, folks. Give us a call, 888-822-8255. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our friend and our special guest this hour. He is the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off. That's the one I'm holding in my hand that we're talking about today. We're talking about the Ten Commandments of Prospecting. He's also the author of Red Hot Customers, and you've got another one, haven't you, Paul?
No, I'm going to start on my next one, actually, in January. Writing a book is a pretty exhausting experience, so I try to push them out, you know, once every 2 years or so. And so Red Hot Customers, I finished last year, and it came out this year, and then you know, probably next year I'll start on the next one, which is going to be either a book on Red Hot Sales Negotiations or Red Hot Sales Management, either one.
I was thinking that you were a little farther along. That was my bad memory. Tell us where the books are available. Both of them are still available.
They're both available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Any of the local bookstores would have them, or if you need an autographed copy, you can always get them directly through us. Our website is RedHotSales.com, and our toll-free number is 888-HOT-HOT-3.
All right.
Any one of those vehicles would work well.
Thanks, Paul. Folks, we're just talking about Commandment 1, which is make an appointment with yourself 1 hour each day to prospect. And I think that's an excellent idea, Paul. We were saying that as we took the break that probably be a good idea to start out and not go too not schedule yourself too far in the future, and just for on the chance that the hour that you schedule for yourself might not be the best hour for you. Maybe it might not be the right time for your prospects. It might not be when you're on or when you feel like prospecting that day. It might be good for me in the morning. It might be better for you in the afternoon.
Well, as I was starting to say before the break, there's actually two points here. And the first point is that whenever you're trying something new, you always want to start out small, because to start out prospecting and plan out a year ahead, you know, that might seem like a very intimidating task. And so your idea of starting out 1 week at a time probably would be a good one, because that way it doesn't really look that intimidating. And this way you can just do your work today and move on to tomorrow and so on and so forth. You don't really have to look forward to an entire year or entire lifetime for prospecting. And so I like that idea of starting out small, because that's how most people are going to be successful. And then they can build on their success a little bit. And the second thing that you brought up actually refers to Commandments number 6 and 7, and I'm going to start with 7 and then work backwards to 6, but commandment number 7 says always vary your call times, and so you want to take into account there when you're at your best. Like, I'm always at my best in the morning, and so I try to do my prospecting in the morning and leave my paperwork back towards the afternoon, because that's when I'm not at my best. And so you always want to vary your call times, number one, by when you are at your best, and number two, just try to introduce a random element into it. So I always say one day you want to call from, say, 10 to 11. Another day it might be 2 to 3. Another day it might be 8 to 9. Another day it might be 5 to 6, and so on and so forth. And this way you're going to be catching people at different times in their business cycle. If you call, you know, every day of the week at 10 o'clock and everybody's in a 10 o'clock meeting at 10 o'clock, well, you're not going to get through to anybody. And so you always want to try to vary your call times a little bit.
The other thing is if you're hitting a dry spell, if you're prospecting at a time when you think it's you feel the best and it's when you want to do it or it's the most convenient, maybe it's just simply a matter of convenience for you.
Yep.
And you're hitting a dry spell, you need to change your luck a little bit. Do like the baseball players do. You know, I've heard of baseball players who always swing at the first pitch, and if they get to where they can't their hitting it, their batting average is going down, then they change that up and they wait for the second pitch. And so change it up a little bit.
And that's what we're trying to do, is, you know, by getting people to vary their call times, is you know, commandment number 7 there is just to enter a random element into the process. You're not always doing exactly the same thing.
One more thing I want to point out here, and that is that when we talked about giving them a break and just letting them go, you know, recommend that you just go out for a week or so. You've got what we're doing here, folks, is we're letting you go a week out because we don't want you to be stuck in a rut from the beginning. But don't forget, you know, that first week, your goal is to find the time that's best for you and your prospects, and then start writing that time down. And another thing I think that happens, Paul, is people have a little bit of success, and all of a sudden they stop prospecting.
Actually, when you're successful is when you need to prospect the most.
That's right.
And it's kind of interesting, because if you're not successful, you know, that might get you a little bit down, and then, you know, the fact that you're down is, to be honest with you, is probably going to come across on the telephone a little bit. And so I find when I make my appointments and when I make my sales and when I'm really as positive as I can possibly be, that's the best time to prospect, because that enthusiasm that you have is going to come through, and people are likely to meet with you and buy from you on the basis of your enthusiasm alone. And so I always teach people it's easier to be successful when you're already successful.
Yes.
As opposed to when you're at the bottom of the ladder.
You not only sound down, you have the tendency potentially to sound desperate.
Yep.
And that comes across on the phone, folks. It's amazing. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about commandment number 2, make as many calls as possible. We're talking about prospecting with our good friend Paul Goldner, the author of Red Hot Customers and Red Hot Cold Call Selling. I'm Jim Blessingham, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, which is his first book, and his second book, which is the brand new one, is called Red Hot Customers. Did I get him in order?
Yep.
Okay. And we're talking about the 10 commandments of prospecting. The next commandment, Paul, is make as many calls as possible. Selling is a numbers game, isn't it?
It's partially a numbers game, but one of the things that I talk about in the book, which is the greatest selling discovery that I've ever made, is the concept of defining your target market. And we have a whole chapter in the book devoted to that called Smart Prospecting.
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is you need to take a look at who your very best customers are, and then create a list of your very best prospects, because, you know, your time in the day is limited. You only have 24 hours a day, and you really can't change that. So it's the person who sells the most in the 24 hours that's going to do the best, obviously. And so the question then comes up, well, how do you sell the most? And the way you sell the most is when you're prospecting, you got to prospect to the very best prospects out there. And so what I always tell people to do is most people sort of discover their prospects as they go throughout their career. And my preference would be to first understand who your very best prospects are, and then go to a list company and get a list of every prospect in your marketplace that meets the demographics that define your target market. Then this way you have 100% of your target market, and every call that you make is a quality call. And that's why I say make as many calls as possible, because you've already taken care of the quality issue.
And by the way, folks, smart prospecting is chapter number 5. And those of you who were here, who were with us when Paul was with us last time, will remember that we talked about that then. Okay, let's talk about the next commandment. Make your calls brief. This is very important, especially if you're selling something that can't really be sold over the phone.
Yeah, well, we talked about this the last time as well, and quite honestly, if you were to list out the mistakes that all of us make out there, you know, and you and I included in this one, probably.
Absolutely. Oh, no question.
One of the biggest mistakes out there is that they spend too much time on the telephone and they don't remember what their objectives are. And so what I always try to teach people in the programs that I do is that your objective for the call is to get a face-to-face selling appointment, not to overcome objections, not to get into a large discussion, not to do anything other than to get in front of your prospects. And so if you keep that in mind, your calls actually should be fairly brief. And the recommendation that I always have is 2 to 3 minutes, and that would be a real good call for you.
One of the things to remember is in most things that you sell, if it's more than socks or produce or something like that, where people have to actually take a little bit of time to think about it and look at your proposal,
mm-hmm.
look at a number of proposals, you're going to have a lot of different steps in that sale. You're going to try to, you know, the first thing you want to do is close for the appointment. Then you may have to close for a demonstration. Then you may have to close for a proposal. Then you may have to close for a trial or whatever the steps may be in your particular sale. But the first thing starts with getting the appointment, and you go into that activity saying, I'm not going to try to close the sale on the phone. My job is to close for the appointment.
Absolutely, that's what your goal is. And when you think about it, you know, when people where they usually make the mistake is when they're trying to overcome an objection. So if you call somebody up, you introduce yourself, and then the prospect says, "Well, you already have what you're selling." What most salespeople will do is then segue into a detailed discussion
yep.
at that point in time. And really, a one-sentence response would be really appropriate for that, something along the lines, well, that's exactly why I called. What we found is we can be an effective supplement to some of the things that you already have in place. And then you go right back to the appointment. Are you
exactly.
available next Tuesday at 3?
Absolutely. You put that close in there and get off the phone. Write the date down and get off the phone. Here's another one, though, that's kind of interesting. The guy calls up and he says, I know you've had people to do this to you, and I have too, and it's funny when they do. The guy calls up or the lady calls up and says, I would like to have an appointment with you for next week, and they've done all that part really well. And then you say, okay, yeah, I got you down for next Wednesday. And then they say, yeah, I've got some new stuff I want to talk to you about. Well, our prices are low. And
yeah.
And they go into the rest of their spiel, and then that's when you almost want to say, look, forget about it.
Yeah, and what they did was they kept talking past the close.
Absolutely. You can't do that, folks. The next commandment, be prepared with a list of names before you call.
And this is an interesting one, because when we say commandment number one, sit down for an hour each day to do your prospecting, the hour has to be a solid hour of prospecting, which means 60 minutes, and every minute of that has to be devoted to prospecting. And a lot of people might fool themselves by spending half of their time trying to gather the list of the names to call, and then only the other half of the time actually calling them. And so what you've done is you've diminished the impact of what you're doing at that point by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that if you're going to do an hour's worth of prospecting, it's got to be the full 60 minutes, because you're only going to get out of the process exactly what you put into the process. And if you do anything to diminish it, it's going to cause you to get, you know, less results, if you will.
Absolutely. Let's talk about how to get this list together. Let's talk about some of the things that you recommend in this chapter, in this section, I should say, of this chapter, that of what you need to do to get this list. Networking is an excellent way to develop a prospect list. As you said, you could buy a list.
Yep.
The company you work for may provide you with some of those. It may be driving around.
Yep.
Maybe the Yellow Pages. Could be a lot of different things. But you say something in here that I'm not sure that I agree with you about. I want to get you to tell us a little bit about it. You talk about getting prospects from your competitors.
Well, that's interesting, because say you were targeting IBM, and this was something the first time I heard it, Jim, I had a heart attack myself, and I had to pick myself up off the floor. But let's say you were targeting IBM, and that was, you wanted to find out who was the decision maker for your product or service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one way to do it is obviously just call up IBM and say who's in charge of, you know, purchasing XYZ
yep.
product. And my feeling is that there's really no secrets as to who the decision makers out there are. And so what I used to do in, you know, in my computer training business was I went to my largest competitor and I said, what I'm going to do is I'll give you, do we have time to finish this? Or?
Hold on to that thought.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break, Paul. I want you to come back because I want you to have time to talk about this. Folks, this is a very interesting and a very controversial way to look at prospecting, going to your competitors. And I've actually done this, Paul, believe it or not, but it's not for everyone, but we'll let you talk about it some more when we come back. And then we're going to talk about the importance of working without interruption. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Paul Goldner, 888-822-8255. We're back. It's 44 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Paul Goldner is our guest and our friend. He is the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off, which was his first book, which we're talking about today. Also his new book, which is called Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them. And Paul, give us quickly your website and your phone number, please.
RedHotSales.com is the website. 888-HOT-HOT-3 is the toll-free number.
Okay, and the books are available online. They're available in bookstores. You can buy them from that phone number, also from that website. Can they buy the books from the website?
Yep.
Good. Okay. We're talking about prospecting, and you were just wrapping up our discussion on actually trading prospect lists with competitors.
And the philosophy behind that is actually pretty simple, because there's really no secret as to who the decision makers are. If you want to find that out, you should be able to do that. And my feeling is the second best list out there is that of your greatest competitor. Obviously, your mailing list is the best list out there, and the second best list is that of your competitors. And so what I find is that by trading lists with your competitors, you can actually get a quicker time to understanding who the decision makers are throughout the entire marketplace. And so the way that actually works is you don't give them physically the list. What you would do is you would take like your newsletter or your mailing piece to their mailing house, and they would give their mailing house their mailing list, and you get to mail your piece to their list, and vice versa. They mail their piece to your list, and then if anybody finds your mailings interesting, they obviously call you up, and that's how you increase your list of contacts.
You know, another thing, you may have a competitor out there where you guys compete on three or four levels, but on three or four other levels, you don't compete. You don't have a product that maybe one of your customers needs, but this competitor does.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've seen that happen. I've seen competitors who would say, you know, would call the other guy up and say, hey, you need to go over there. They need something that I don't have.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen that happen a lot of times before. And so yeah, that works. Talk to us about working without interruptions when you're prospecting.
Well, a lot of people, and this relates back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, a lot of people sit down to do their prospecting hour, and what do? They wind up in meetings and getting interrupted and things of that nature. And my feeling is that you really have to, if you're going to sit down for an hour, you got to devote the full hour to it, because you're only going to get paid in proportion to the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you put into it is exactly what you're going to get out of it. And the other thing is, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So at the beginning, you're kind of like in the warm-up phase, maybe for the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then you really get rolling after that. So why break that great momentum that you have?
Well, no question. And the thing is, prospecting is a mindset. You've got to, as you were alluding to, Paul, you've got to get into that. You sort of have to put your game face on.
You have to put your game face on, you know, and think about it. What are your alternatives, really? Because, you know, as a small business owner, you know, the world's just not knocking at your door waiting to get in there and buy from you. And so
That's
you
right.
really have to be proactive and get out there and let prospects and customers know that you're there.
Well, the thing that happens is the more you're interrupted, the more corrupt and diluted the value of that prospecting hour becomes. So finally, you just sort of forget about it. You just drift off into Never Never Land,
mm-hmm.
and you wind up not doing any prospecting.
Absolutely, and that's the trap that we all fall into. And when you do that, you're not going to get any sales.
Try to work without interruptions, if at all possible, folks. It may not always be possible, but do your best and get the people who support you to help you with that. All right, commandment number 6, consider prospecting during off-peak hours if conventional prospecting time doesn't work.
And we should probably update that one, because when I wrote the book in 95, I used the word consider. But I think now you really have to prospect during off-peak hours because conventional times are just not going to be as productive for you. And so I always teach people the best prospecting times for business-to-business prospecting are, believe it or not, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., 12 to 2, which is the typical lunch hour for most people, and 5 to 7 after the workday, because that's where you're going to find decision-makers at their desk and willing to take phone calls and not guarded by secretaries and gatekeepers. And it's tremendous, the results that you get. I usually find that my success rate goes from somewhere around 10% for a completed call from 9 to 12 and 2 to 5 up to about 40 or 50% from 7 to 9, 12 to 2, and 5 to 7.
Would you agree that Monday mornings is a bad time to prospect?
I don't like to say that any time is a bad time, because one of my friends, who's a great motivational speaker, does this speech, and when he eliminates all the bad times to prospect, there's only one day that's good in the whole year.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of funny when you look at that. I don't really like to say any time is a bad time.
All right, low percentage.
So
I mean, people are coming in, they're off the weekend, they're going again, they've got all they're trying to get caught up on everything. It always seemed to me that Monday morning, at least the first couple of hours on Monday morning was not a good time to prospect.
Mm-hmm. That may be. But, you know, again, I want to caution everybody from ruling out times, because if you rule out too many of them, there's none left.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about being organized. That's commandment number 8. And then we're going to talk about some of the other 3. We'll have 3 left when we come back, folks. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Paul Goldner, author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling and Red Hot Customers, is our guest and our good friend. We will be right back. Stay with us. We are back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jane Pearson is on the board. He is our producer at the network at Talk America Radio Network, and he's the best. Paul Goldner is our special guest, and he is a friend of ours. He is the author of Red Hot Cold Call Selling, Prospecting Techniques That Pay Off, which is the book that we're working with today. He's also the author of his new book, which is called Red Hot Customers, How to Get Them and How to Keep Them. Check those out in your bookstores, folks. Also, check them out online. Let's finish up our discussion on the Ten Commandments, Paul, of prospecting. Be organized, number 8, be organized.
And this is something that's pretty obvious, but I'm recommending that everybody obviously use a computerized contact management system so you can keep track of the people in your list and when you have to call them back and what their names and phone numbers are and so on and so forth.
Right. Very smart. If you don't get organized when you're prospecting, you will lose the value of that hour that you set aside.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're doing a lot of prospecting, an hour a day, you know, how are you going to remember who you called today, tomorrow, the next day, and so on and so forth?
In your prospecting, you also need a prospect development system, don't you?
Well, that's the whole purpose of the computer, is that you would have some sort of a contact management system out there,
yeah,
like ACT or Goldmine or any of the popular ones that
right
might be.
And you know, in the old days, before we had computers, that all that was on paper.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine how they did it.
Well, we did it, and it worked pretty darn good. And you know what? I still use that.
Oh, really?
I still give that to clients of mine, because you know, some of them may or may not be they may not have that software available,
mm-hmm,
and it's a good way to teach people how to get organized.
Yeah, if you don't have the software, then you got to be organized some other way.
Absolutely. Number 9: see the end before you begin.
This just speaks to being confident. If you don't feel like you're going to be successful, you're probably right. And if you do feel like you're going to be successful, you're also probably right. So you really, when you pick up that telephone, you really can't think that the customer or prospect is not going to want to talk to you. You have to really see them wanting to talk to you.
One of the things you reference is Stephen Covey's comments.
Mm-hmm. 7 Habits of Highly Effective Successful People, which
yes
is one of, you know, obviously the best, you know, biggest best-selling books of all time. And in there, he also, you know, just suggests that you see the end before you begin to be confident, to really visualize your success, because if you don't do that, it's probably not going to happen for you.
This is out of the book, folks. Before you begin each call, see the prospect eagerly awaiting your call and desperately in need of your services. I like that.
Well, it's like when they asked Walt Disney when he was dying, they said, are you upset that you're not going to see Epcot Center? And he said, if I didn't see it in my mind, you would never see it in reality.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. The way I heard it was that he said, I've already seen it.
Yep.
Yeah, wasn't that a great story?
Yep.
And then second, folks, your confidence and enthusiasm will be contagious. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk number 10, and as we wrap up the hour, don't stop.
Well, you got to be persistent. There's an old saying, most sales take place after the fifth call, and most salespeople quit after the first. And so you got to make that second call, that third call, that fourth call, that fifth call if you want to be successful. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to steal what rightfully should have been yours.
You have six structures for value added that you mentioned in this section. And you tell us what those are: information, distribution, resources, systems integration, stability, and product or service design.
What that really does is tell you about the six ways that you can add value into your customer sales cycle. And to me, that's probably the most important thing that you can do is to differentiate yourself in a competitive market, to give the customer something that you need that they don't already have. And that's actually the whole focus of my new book, Red Hot Customers.
Right. Paul, that's got to be the last word, as you did in the past. You did a great job today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have you back again real soon.
Okay.
Paul Gohner, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Red Hot Customers, which is his new book, and Red Hot Cold Call Selling, which is still available in bookstores online at his website, and we'll talk to him later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.